excellent movie adventures.
Welcome to another episode of the most excellent movie adventures you will ever journey across. And this week, my hosts are, as always, Thomas and Zach.
Hello.
Hola.
And we're going to talk about some cool stuff.
Part of our Halloween collection.
Yep. How many movies from Halloween have we done so far? We did Tim Burton.
Tim Burton was before Halloween.
And we did Army of Darkness, Evil Dead film. So we've done two episodes for Halloween.
No, Tim Burton wasn't part of the Halloween.
Tim Burton was an early start because I couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Couldn't hold it in anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh. But yeah, check out our release if you would.
But check out our other episode on the Evil Dead Army of Darkness. It's a good one.
Yep. It's
it's a little graphic.
But so are those movies. So if you're interested in them, I'm sure you'll
do
just fine.
If you're into horror movies, that's right up your alley.
Did you guys watch anything fun this week?
What did I watch?
I have watched a lot of movies and I can't remember.
I watched Meat Eater. It was a good show about hunting and stuff. It was fun.
Oh, okay.
Watched that Utopia thing on Amazon that they've been pushing like crazy. Don't bother with it. Not that good.
Hmm.
What movies did I watch? I don't know if I watched any good movies.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember anything that I watched, and I know I watched a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I watched. I felt like I watched a bunch of stuff, but nothing of merit.
Ooh, I watched The Faculty.
Oh, that movie's all right.
Josh Hartnett.
I haven't seen it.
And Elijah Wood.
That's basically...
And it's like 99, I believe.
Yeah, but isn't that movie basically just Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah.
Like school teachers?
They turned it into a teen movie.
Oh, okay.
Basically. this alien race comes down and takes over the teachers.
Hmm.
And then they try turning this small town into it, and then eventually the kids start killing the teachers.
Oh. It wouldn't have been my first choice as a teacher, but...
Are they not aliens?
What?
The faculty? The teachers?
They don't start out that way. There's a little, like...
But they do...
They
like,
do, okay. Yes.
I'm just trying to make sure I remembered it, right?
Yes,
because I haven't seen it since I was, like, I don't know, 14 or something like that.
They just did a re-release on Blu-ray for the first time, and so I thought, oh, I'll pick it up.
Hmm.
It was a good movie. It's kind of one of those cult classics. It didn't do really well, but then... As time's gone on, people are like, oh, this was actually a pretty decent movie. I watched Hubie Halloween.
Oh, yeah? I almost watched that.
That looks so stupid.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. It's funny stupid.
I saw the trailer for it on Netflix today. What was I going to watch? I remember. But I saw it and I was like, oh, my. No.
I haven't even seen the trailer. I've just seen the thumbnail image. And I immediately thought, like, Ernest Scared Stupid. And then I was just like, maybe I'll watch that. But I'm not going to watch
this. So here's the scene.
And then I still thought about it for like a second.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's maybe just because I recently did rewatch Billy Madison.
Okay.
So you're mindset. I'm kind of on the... I mean, I'm not going to go through all the Adam Sandler movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. He's reared his head in my movie watching recently. So like when I see his face, I pause for a second. You know what I mean?
It's Adam Sandler, classic, stupid... humor.
Yeah.
If you don't like those type of movies from him, you probably won't like this movie.
Mm.
See, I don't mind that kind of humor from him.
And that's me too. And so
I have a problem with the quality of the more recent films where he does that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's where my disconnect is. Because I still to this day think Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore are great movies. You know what I mean?
See,
Waterboy. I love those movies. I think they're great.
This one
I just don't know if I can, you know,
stomach another one.
It's like when somebody becomes so successful that everyone around them just becomes like a yes man kind of person, then it's, I guess the way I think about it is kind of like the same way this is going to be really weird. I'm going to compare Adam Sandler and Steven Spielberg. But they're nothing alike.
I don't know.
Except for in this one instance where I feel like Steven Spielberg's early stuff is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason for that is because he had these grand ideas and he had to fight against the studios to get them made, right? So he's fighting for all the most important things, and he has to pick and choose what he really truly needs in his movies. And whereas then over time, he becomes a factory. Yeah. You know what I mean? And everyone around him is just like, whatever you want, we'll do.
No one will say no.
Say the word. You say jump, we'll say how high, we'll do whatever you want to do. And then because of that, all the bad ideas seep in too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of maybe the same story with Adam Sandler, where he had these movies where he fought for like maybe some jokes and being a child about other jokes or whatever, you know what I mean? And that, then everyone around him became just like a bro, and he has his own, you know, the Happy Madison Productions or whatever. Hmm. And so now everyone's just his employee, so they're not going to say no.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to fight for anything. He just gets to do what he wants all the time. And because of that, the good stuff doesn't shine as much as it normally would.
Adam Sandler, if you're listening, you can hire me. I'll be your no man.
See, and this one is chock full of Easter eggs from his old movies.
Okay.
Just full of them. And he brings back a lot of his character. I mean, a lot of the same people. I mean, Rob Schneider's in it.
The main guy that he's supposed to be reminds me of Waterboy.
Yeah.
Like, kind of it's slow.
It's, yeah, it's got that same type of thing to it.
Yeah.
I will throw this out. Ben Stiller is in it.
Yeah. I was going to say, Ben Stiller, Kevin James, Rob Schneider, like the whole...
Yeah.
They're all like the kind of homies, though.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's...
Buscemi.
It is a little bit more surprising that Stiller is in it, though.
Yeah.
Because he seems
that
to be...
That part's actually really funny.
Like, Ben Stiller, although, like, they have a lot of the same friends and stuff, you know, and are obviously probably good friends themselves, he has his own, like, really successful career, you know? Like,
whereas
Rob Schneider kind of needs somebody else to latch on to.
None of his movies are good.
Ben Stiller doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. I feel like Ben Stiller, actor. Adam Sandler, actor. Rob Schneider, the guy that's in the movies with actors.
So, I'll just spoil it.
Yeah, go for it. I'm not
Rob Schneider. Ben Stiller reprises his role from Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Working at the old folks home?
Yeah, as that the nurse attender or whatever, the jerk. Yeah, he reprises his role as that.
That's funny.
That's all I'll give it out to be. And it's only like, he's only in the movie for like
two minutes.
Mm. Yeah, but.
That's probably all you need.
Some of Ben Stiller's best stuff is his cameos.
Yeah.
Like he's in Orange County. Remember, he's the fireman who catches Jack Black running around with his pants off. And he was actually in one episode of Freaks and Geeks also.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of like the Secret Service when the president comes to town.
Okay.
And they can't let the school counselor into the cafeteria because he used to go to protests and stuff. And so they think that he's like a threat.
Yeah.
So they like lock him away, and the counselor ends up having Ben Stiller take like a job test, like to find your career or whatever, because he's not happy being a Secret Serviceman. I don't know.
Have you watched that yet? Freaks and Geeks?
No.
Oh, dude, so you would love it.
It's really good.
Of the things that you and I connect on, it is all of those things wrapped up into one show.
My hard thing about that, and it's the same thing why I haven't watched, I can't remember the name of the show. The movie's called Serenity.
Oh, Firefly?
Yeah, Firefly.
So I haven't watched either of those things.
There's one main reason why I haven't watched either of those shows.
Okay.
There's only one season of each.
Yeah.
Well, I thought one was a movie.
Firefly.
Well, Firefly is the season, and they did a movie for Serenity to try to close things up. Uh-huh. Yeah. It didn't really close anything up.
They were going to try and make it their own thing, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, and so
Firefly is really good. It's like a space western.
And that's like why part of me is like, I really don't want to watch these and then join everybody else and going, why didn't you do more? I'm so mad.
Yeah, I
hear you, and I've been recommended those shows more times than I can count, and I've never watched them. I think I watched maybe one episode of the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It didn't immediately grab me. Granted, it was just one episode.
That's what I heard about Firefly. I heard you had to get like two or three episodes into it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But
I have no idea how long the show is.
There's like two seasons. It's like
There's only one season, and it's only like 10 episodes long.
I thought it was like 16 altogether, but yeah.
Yeah, or it might be 16. I don't know. There's only one season.
Anyway, Space Western sounds like something that would be right up my alley, but I don't know. I've also never watched it because I know there's nothing else afterwards. That being said, I wouldn't want to unwatch any of the other shows that I know met an early demise. Yeah. You know what I mean? See, like Freaks and Geeks. I love that show.
I wish that had more seasons to it. That was so good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like a lot of the TV shows, 2 to 3 seasons, maybe 4, call it wraps, go on to a new project. I think that's better than you have like Supernatural is on its 14th season or something like that. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Grow up, man. Or like,
or what my wife's into right now, that Doctor movie show.
Doctor Who? Doctor Who?
No, not Doctor Who. It's
Doctor movie show. Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
That one's been on for like 20 years. That one's
in its like 14th, 15th season right now.
It's crazy, man.
And like all the main characters have left and they've been replaced.
Yeah. And I mean, like, then you get into like Friends, like, it's an iconic show. All those seasons are good, but, you know, 3-4 seasons, call it good. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
About it. I think the UK has it right. Instead of doing they super do like long. They do
like the miniseries shows?
They do like three episodes.
They do like three seasons, but no, they do more than that, like 6 or something.
Well, Sherlock, that only did like 2 or 3 or 4 Red episodes. Red Dwarf
had 9 seasons.
Yeah, but
then,
but every season is only like 8 episodes.
But I feel like most of them now, they just do like 3-4. That's a good idea. Let's get a new idea instead of the same premise. Like The Walking Dead went on for 9 seasons. Like after the second season, it's too much.
You are right. So I think.
Is Walking Dead ending?
I think it's done now.
No, they're going on another season. They just started another season right now.
This is the last season then.
And then they've started an off series with.
Two other off series. Yeah, which two is other. Stupid.
There's one that's going to follow Daryl. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Biker dude?
I don't know.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Norman Reedus.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to follow him and Carol.
Yeah.
But, whatever. Carol, because she's the reason people watch that show.
She's a badass lady, man.
Anywho.
Whatever.
Honestly, dude, if I was Norman Reedus, I mean, that show is.
Cash cow.
Yeah, it's a cash cow for sure, but if I were him, I'd try to get away from that. Because it's going to end up getting him, like,
typecast
and tied down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Which.
And that's why the
look
UK,
at a lot of that. The look at a lot of people from Friends.
Exactly.
I mean, David Schwimmer. It's kind of hard to not look at him and not think Ross anymore.
The only one that's been successful out of that is Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Courtney Cox.
I would say Courtney Cox. It took her a while. She did other things.
Yeah.
And has done stuff
she
recently.
She still has her Scream franchise. She's been successful. Running off of, so.
Well, yeah, but she's done shows too. Yeah. Like, did she do that show?
A Showtime show.
Cougar Town show. Yeah. So she's done other things and been successful, but you're right. Like
And Matthew Perry's done pretty well, but he's kind of like a bad omen for any TV show he goes on to. Like, it's canceled within one season or two
seasons.
Was
he Chandler, Matthew Perry?
Yeah. And then Matt LeBlanc, Joey.
Oh, yeah, that's who I was thinking.
But he wasn't doing anything for a long time. Well,
he did that show right after Friends.
He did Joey right after.
He did Joey right after Friends. And then he went and did a Showtime show, I think. Something like that. And then he just did one on CBS. It was actually pretty funny. It was 4 seasons long. They just canceled it. But it was Man of the House or whatever. And
but
it was actually really pretty good. Or Man with a Plan. That's what it was called.
Yeah, but it's been 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it took him a while. He's doing those amount of TV shows. Like, that's pretty steady work.
Yeah.
I just feel like no one else has really done anything. He probably has.
Yeah, nobody's been. None of them doing nobody's anything. Been as successful as Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. So like, nobody's. Courtney Cox is probably the closest.
Yeah.
But nobody's reached the same heights. But, like, that happens, I think, out of every great TV show. Yeah.
But,
like,
I mean,
The Office ended. Mm-hmm. Steve Carell left before the last season or whatever. Yeah. And he has done great things. And now John Krasinski is doing great things.
Yeah.
But
that was his first thing, though, too. So you're going to ride that out.
Exactly. But also, like, everybody else from that show, what have they done?
Yeah. Except for Pam's first boyfriend, fiance. I don't
even
know
his name.
He's
been
quite a bit.
But he was never a staple of that show.
Exactly. That's what I mean. The people that don't stay forever on these shows go on to do a lot of other big things where you get stuck. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah. I'd be hard to walk away from something like that, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, say you're Rainn Wilson. You know what I mean? And you're Dwight.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to bring up. I saw him in Utopia. That's the show I watched. I watched it because of him. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he is a good actor. He was also in this movie called The Hessian with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And I saw in this movie, I think it was called Super, where I own it, actually. But
it sounds familiar.
If I'm thinking of the right movie, I might be thinking of Defender which I also own.
Defender was Woody Harrelson.
Okay, so it is Super. Mm-hmm. So he basically is like this guy. I don't even remember if he's like kind of slow or not, but his wife leaves him and she's dating this guy that maybe he's a drug dealer. I don't know. But he gets together with the girl from Ellen Page.
Oh, okay.
So she's also in the movie, and he's like okay, this fake superhero who just hits people with a wrench.
Yeah, yeah.
And she becomes his sidekick.
Whoa, that was a big thunk. Your lights went out.
And sorry for the noise. We got a kid running around upstairs. But anyway, he's like a superhero or whatever, but it's kind of like Superbad. He's a vigilante. He's not really a superhero, but he has this vain idea that he is one.
Yeah.
But that movie is pretty good. At least I remember liking it.
Now that you describe it, I remember seeing it once, but it doesn't seem bad from what I remember of it.
I'm trying to think. Also, Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. Jason Alexander hasn't really done a whole lot. He's had like guest appearances here and there. And only like recently, like the last, you know, 10 years or whatever, Julia Louis-Dreyfus starts popping up and stuff. She did Veep. Yeah. And then she did that movie pretty with
successful though. I mean, that's going on like 6 or 7 seasons. So she's been doing that for a while.
Well, it's over now.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like it took her a long time to get that show. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, but she does like, she's like a political activist and she just recently did that movie with Will Ferrell where they go on that family vacation to like the Alps or something. It's on HBO.
Oh, hmm. Then they do.
Oh, the one where there's the avalanche, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's based off of a true story.
I don't know.
She just voiced the mom on Onward as well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, So I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying when I think about somebody doing something, I don't generally think of like their, you know, secondary character or in a voiceover role. You know what I mean? Like they might be working and doing something, but I don't generally think of that as like...
Yeah, but also they got that Seinfeld money, they don't need to work.
Well, they don't have that Seinfeld money. Only Seinfeld and Larry David get the Seinfeld money. It's syndicated,
though. They're getting money off of it.
Larry David and Seinfeld own the whole thing. So every time they sell it to a new network, they get the money.
I'm sure they get some royalties actors, off of it, though.
They don't.
Are you sure?
I'm like 99% sure.
I don't know, man.
You look it up.
I'm not going to.
I'm willing to bet you they don't.
I'll believe you.
They might get something off of like DVD sales or something like that for merchandise because they're using their likeness. But to perpetuate the show, just stream it on a new thing, I'm pretty sure that Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld own the whole thing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Anyway, should we jump into the movie we want to talk about this week?
Yeah, probably. Man,
we really went off the rails there and away from whatever topic we were headed towards.
Nah, it was good.
So to keep in with our horror movie theme for the month of October, we're going to talk about the movie Poltergeist.
I forgot we even introduced it. That we were doing our Halloween.
Oh, man. Anyway, I forgot how scary this movie really is.
Holy crap, dude. Like,
I was expecting to watch it, and there were moments where I laughed because it's like just how old this movie is, the effects. The graphics. Some of it don't hold. See, and I thought some of the effects still look good.
Oh, yeah.
Like the demon when she's trying to get into the kids' room and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can tell it's old.
Not up to the standard. Yeah.
Like it holds up, but it's not as good as you remember it, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Like what the face in the mirror and stuff like that. Oh, man.
I have nightmares about that. I specifically didn't want to watch this because I watched this when I was really young, like, I don't know, 8 or 9, and was scared. Scared the crap out of me. It was me and my friend alone at night at his house watching this with all the lights out. We thought the TV was going to suck us in too. And just trauma.
So this movie came out in 1982, which is before the invention of the PG-13 rating. So it's rated just PG. It's about 2 hours long and it's awesome. Lizzie and I watched it with J.U. just last night.
Yeah.
And it was great. Lizzie was the only one squirming as far as I could tell. J.U. was sitting at the other end of the couch. I couldn't really see him because we had that divider thing down. Oh, yeah. But anyway, this movie is great. The cast is awesome, which, you know, everybody just remembers the little girl. And I think that's partly because of, like, you know, she basically made these three movies.
Yeah.
and then tragically died right afterwards. But yeah, Carol Ann Freeling is the little girl who's like the main, when you think of this movie, that's the face you think of, even though she's really not in a lot of it. You know what I mean? The main character is the mom and the dad, I would say. And I would lean more towards the mom being the main character because he's the only one that's really in the house for the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But it's probably pretty shared. Anyway, the dad is, Carol Ann Freeling is the character name, not the actress's name. Her name was Heather O'Rourke. That's the name of the girl that everyone thinks of. But Craig T. Nelson, also known as Coach from TV's Coach,
love that show. This.
Jo Beth Williams plays the mom. Beatrice Strait is the Dr. Lesh character. So she's the lady from the college that comes over when they're first trying to like get somebody to come and see what's happening at their house, which I want to come back to that scene because it's hilarious. And anyway, the Dominic Dunn is the oldest daughter, who she's 16 in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some like kind of, the construction workers in the backyard are being creeps to obviously an underage girl.
Yeah. And I thought,
and then later she,
the mom's laughing about it too.
Well, the mom I think laughs because she gives him the finger.
Yeah.
So she's like, that's my girl, and is laughing maybe at the construction workers.
But still, I'd be like,
but in a real life scenario, a mom would be
like, old.
Exactly. They'd be out there yelling at him to defend her daughter or whatever.
Yeah.
But then later when they're talking about the hotel, she's like, oh, I know that place.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And she's riding a bicycle everywhere she goes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Real quick, Julia Louise Dreyfus does get money from Seinfeld still.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Well, it's not nearly as much. I bet you.
No, it's not. Anyway,
let's see here. Where is the brother? I don't even see the brother. Oh, Oliver Robbins, Michael McManus, and then. Where is the lady who's... There she is. Zelda Rubinstein. She plays Tangina.
Yeah.
She's basically the exorcist character for the movie.
Yeah. She's... I don't know what it is. It's not because she's a little person, but like every movie I know her from, she's kind of creepy. Like it's a scary, weird movie.
Mm. I think that's what she's... I think that was kind of the point. She's kind of known for it. Yeah. I don't know her from.
She's been in a few like older movies.
So the girl Dominique Dunn, really sad. She was actually murdered later that year.
After this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Whoa, I didn't know that.
This was released June 4th, 1982. Which I was born 5 years later to the day.
Ooh. That explains why you're so messed up.
Right? But yeah, she was dating a head chef. And they broke up, and he stormed to her house, dragged her out, and strangled her in the front yard.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's grim.
So she died at the age of 22. Yeah, she was murdered.
Dang.
So, and that was like October, pretty much, yeah, October 30th, day before Halloween, I think is what it was. So about, what is that, like 4 months after this was released? So...
Well, that's a bummer, Zach.
Well, if you go into this, they said between this one and The Exorcist,
there's like a lot of deaths related.
There
to
is
the
like
cast.
Those are like the two plagued movies. Like,
dude, this show is messed up.
Well, this one because Heather O'Rourke, who plays the little girl, she actually died too.
Yeah,
but she—I can't remember what she died of.
So she died after the. After filming ended on the third movie,
yes,
she died because she basically had like a intestinal blockage.
It says cardiopulmonary arrest and intestinal stenosis.
Yeah,
ooh,
those are big words.
You did a good job saying
them out. Yeah, Lizzie and I were talking about it last night, and so I looked it up and then forgot exactly all the words. So I'm glad you had it right in front of you.
And that was after the third one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's in all three films.
Okay.
And I know that the Zelda Rubinstein, she is in the third one.
Yeah.
I saw it on TV once.
Hmm.
I don't know if she's in the second one.
You know what's funny? I don't like that woman.
She's in Southland Tales and 16 Candles.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, I don't like her voice.
She plays a creepy lady.
She's in like the scariest places
on earth.
So I had never seen this before until today. I actually watched this this afternoon when I got home from work.
Did you like it?
I did. It's good. Really liked it.
Yeah.
But as soon as she walked in and I heard the voice, I thought, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
See, I like the character.
Yeah.
I think she's supposed to, like, I think it helps that they cast her. Exactly. Because it keeps you uneasy about everything that's happening. Like, you almost feel like she isn't right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
well, she's
maybe
not.
She's not there to, I just, you know, maybe she's not actually there helping them. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. She's off-putting for sure.
Yeah.
You know, just the way that she portrays her character. But anyway, basically what happens in this movie is this family moves into this house and they've been living there for a little while. We get introduced to them because they're all watching the dad is having like a football watching party, mm-hmm. which that is hilarious. First off,
coach.
because he's coach, but also because they send the guy without the car to go get beer and he's on a bicycle.
You don't want him to drive.
He's riding back with like this case of beer under his arm.
Which I'm surprised those things didn't fall because the thing's like sideways and it's just 4 6-packs in this case.
Yeah.
And they're in there pretty good.
Yeah,
he's on this bicycle. Like,
the tires are flat.
Yeah, the tires are flat. And these kids are just driving little cars, and they, like, cut him off, and he falls. And the beer, like, cans do what they do when they hit the ground. They're spraying everywhere. And he just picks up, like, one of the, like, half cases and just carries it inside.
Just runs
inside.
He's just
spraying everywhere. Like, he doesn't even stop to grab the rest of them. Or send anyone else out to get the rest of them. I think
it's funny, a bunch of kids outside and there's just cans of beer laying all over the street.
Dude, the 80s were a wild time. You could drink
those. Yeah, they were.
Oh, man. Anyway, so that's when we...
16-year-olds running around like a floozy and beer in the streets.
That's
great time to be alive, the early 80s.
Oh. I forgot, what part of the movie are we talking about? The very beginning,
the beginning.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so we get to meet all the characters, and, you know, there's a storm that's rolling into town.
Mm-hmm.
The kid climbs that tree, which I was going to ask you guys, did you notice faces on the tree?
I did.
And, like, the nubs on the tree? I noticed at least three. Like, some of them are, like, carved, I think, so that they're kind of resembling a face, and other ones look like they have facial features. Like, some of them are shaped so that, like, the silhouette of it makes it look like a face. Huh. You know what I mean? But some of them look like faces.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe.
Which, I'm sorry. The kid's like, Dad, that tree creeps me out. Well, it's a good tree. It's been there for a long time. The thing looks deader than a doornail. Like, just pull the stupid thing.
It's the middle of summer, wherever they're living.
And there's
like, it's sunshine
nothing
and
on
everything,
it.
And there's nothing on it's it. It's super
it looks
dead.
Like it. Isn't like the San Bernardino Valley or something like that.
I don't know
like
where
that.
The movie's supposed to take place.
Maybe it's an Australian tree and it's used to being in Australia. Their summer is our winter, so it's hibernating.
Anyway, this kid climbs this tree.
You're pushing
and he's
it.
Like, the storm starts rolling in, and then, you know, later that night they're all going to bed and he's freaked out by the lightning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the parents come in to talk to him and tell him, you know, after you see the flash of lightning, just start counting. And if it, you know, when the thunder comes, depending on how many seconds you count, do it again. And then if it takes more time to count, that means the storm is moving away from you. Or if it's moving closer, then the flash of lightning and the thunder are closer together or whatever.
Yeah.
So the kid's counting and he shares a bedroom with his sister. So they're counting and it's like moving away. And so he goes back to his room or whatever. And then I like how it just cuts to like every parent's night. Like, you know, if something like that happens, you're not going to make it through the night without the kids getting into your bed. And so it just like jump cuts forward and both the kids are in the bed with them. And anyway, so the TV comes on. Oh, I also love the fight with the neighbor because the houses are all so close together. They were trying to watch that football game and it switches to Mr. Rogers.
My kids want to watch Mr. Rogers.
Well, we're in here watching the game and they're just clicking the remotes at each other's houses, which... Those clickers, man. Those remotes, like, the buttons on them are like
so
that.
Big. Yeah.
And they're like,
that's
they're
why it's
like
called a
actually
clicker.
Switches. It's crazy. Like, I've never actually had one of those, like, in my hand in person, but I've seen them before. And it's just so weird that, like, You know what I mean? I've seen videos where like you have this remote, but you have to be like right in front of the TV to like make it work. So why not just use the dial on the television, you know? Anyway, the TV switches from whatever presidential thing that the dad was watching over to just snow and like static stuff. And the daughter wakes up and she's hearing voices like whisper through the TV or whatever. So she's talking to the people on the TV. And then this, like, she goes to like put her hands on the TV like she did earlier in the show. And this hand, like, this ghostly hand, like, reaches out to grab her.
Yeah.
She backs up for a second and then it kind of grows through the room and like zaps into the wall, which I forgot some things about this movie. And so I thought that was like the house becoming possessed.
Wasn't that the. That was the second time she hears the voices.
Right, because the first time she just puts her hands on
the TV. That's right, yeah.
But that's the scene where she, after it all happens and they all wake up, then she's like, they're here, or whatever.
That's right.
The people from the TV.
Which I thought was funny because she's like, they're here. And then it cuts off and it's morning time and the mom's like, so when you were talking to us and said they're here, who are you talking about? It's like, why would you not ask that question after she says they're here?
You know, these
movies. I think they thought she was like sleepwalking or something, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they definitely think that she's a sleepwalker.
Yeah.
But also, these parents make some odd choices in this film. Like
putting their kids to bed and then going in their room and getting high.
And then, well, also, later on in the movie.
Where else are you going to do it?
Well, I get it. I don't know. I just thought it was, I thought it was really weird, especially when they're all just like, you could tell they're kind of blitzed. And then the kid walks in. The tree scare or the, yeah, the thunder part. And the dad's like, oh, now crap, I got to be a dad. Kind of shakes it off and goes and walks out. And I'm like, I don't know. That's,
seems like some irresponsible parenting.
Just a little bit. I mean, I get it, but just a little bit.
Dude, you got to unwind from those brats.
That's what I'm saying. I get it.
Anyway,
I get it.
This is where we get to what I think is the first questionable parenting thing. So,
yeah, aside from the drugs.
So, well, I'm just saying, like, I could see why, you know, like, if you're a person who likes to smoke and you're a parent and your kids are all in bed asleep, that's probably when you would do it.
Yes.
So, you know, that to me, well, kids, you shouldn't do drugs. You know what I mean? Like, that seems like a lesser grievance than I'm about to say, which is the chairs moving around in the kitchen, and then she uses her daughter with just a football helmet on and just lets these ghosts just slide her kid across the kitchen, and she's just laughing about it. Like, it's some crazy thing. If I, like, so the chairs are all pulled out, right? And she thinks the kids left them out. Then it jumps forward in time. The chairs are pulled out again. So she thinks the kids did it again, but the only kid that's home is Carol Ann. The other two kids are at school.
Yeah.
So then she pushes all the chairs in, and Carol Ann comes in, and she's talking to her about the TV people or whatever, and the camera follows her, which I would like to know how they did that take. It was I was trying to think, like, if people, like, hurried and took the chairs out while they've got the camera trained on her.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And then carried in like a pre-assembled stack of chairs and just balanced it on the table.
Yeah, like they're all screwed together.
Yeah.
I would think
That's how I think it was probably done if I had to guess. Otherwise, it's just like a cut, like almost like really a green screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or when she's bent down, like they, you know, she reaches for something and they cut. And then,
I was going to say, I think either that or just was a really good splice.
Either way, it's a really, it's really, if it is a cut, they hit it really well.
Yes.
But I tend to think it's especially more for the just
early 80s.
Them hurried and dragged the chairs out and then carry in these chairs. It's just funnier to me in my head that way. But anyway, she's talking to Carol Ann. She bends down to grab something from under the cover. And when she gets back up, all the chairs are stacked in a pyramid on top of the table. And then we jump forward to the dad coming home, and the wife has just been having this grand time sliding, letting this unknown force slide her child across the linoleum floor. And she's done it enough times that her kid's butt hurts. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe
if that if that happened to me, like all of a sudden the chairs are all stacked out, the first thing I'm thinking is, oh, that's a ghost. Let's get out of here. You know what I mean? Like, not some weird paranormal energy in the house isn't gonna stack chairs up.
I'm just gonna play devil's advocate here. Maybe she was already smoking some of the devil's grass.
Kids were at school.
That other one, it doesn't matter if she gets high, she's just going to be hungry. Maybe she was just like, this is weird.
Yeah. I mean, the dad kind of has the right, you know, he has the right reaction. Yeah. Like, he's weirded out by it.
Well, and then she's like, come like, over here, come sit down. They'll do it to you, too. And then he's like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah. And so then she's like, come here, Carol Ann, let's show dad. She just slides her kid across the floor again. But the dad has the correct reaction, I think. And he's like, nobody's allowed in the kitchen anymore.
Not just the kitchen. Like, I'd be leaving the house. Like, GTFO.
Right. So then, what happens after that? The storm rolls in.
Yeah.
And the tree comes through the window and, like, grabs the kid.
And then tries to eat him.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah. I thought it just grabbed him. And also, I thought that I forgot all about the tree grabbing the kid. I thought that was going to be when we saw, like, the clown attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it wasn't. So that caught me by surprise because I forgot all about the tree attack. And so the tree comes smashing through the window and grabs this kid and tries to eat him. They're all outside trying to, like, save this kid, except for the oldest daughter.
She didn't like him anyway.
Yeah, she seems like she's like kind of looking through the window, not really realizing what's going on.
She's like another demon tree.
Yeah, but they all just leave. Like, even if this, I don't know, I guess it'd be hard to like put yourself in that situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you and Ashley are home. Mm-hmm. With both your kids, and a tree tries to eat Jackson. Are you both going to run out to save Jackson from the tree? Probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're leaving your other kid unattended in the house, which, I mean, it's a tree attack. It's coming from outside. You're not assuming a closet's going to devour your other kid now. You know what I mean? So I guess it makes sense, but if something crazy is happening, like this wildly out of control storm, for all you know, it's like a hurricane or a tornado just smashed the street through your room, that room. You're not going to leave the other kid in that same room. You know what I mean? That's the way I think about it. But I suppose it'd be hard to think when all that's going on, you know? So we'll let that one slide. But anyway, while they're outside trying to save the kid from being eaten by this demon tree, this portal opens up inside the kid's closet and just starts sucking everything from the kid's room into the closet, including Heather O'Rourke's character, Carol Ann.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that effect was pretty good.
Yeah.
All the
holds
like
up pretty well.
Yeah. All the like windy stuff going on in the room. I thought that all held up really, really good.
That's because they did it all practically. They had massive wall of fans, just blew everything around.
You could tell. But I'm talking about even like the lighting coming out of the closet.
Just making it up.
Well, they definitely were using fans to blow stuff around. But I'm just saying, like, pulling like the mattresses on strings and the beds and stuff across the floor.
It looked really
good. Even just like the having the lights hidden in the closet to shine out, I thought it all looked really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Carol Ann goes into the closet and then disappears.
Yeah.
And I also liked that when they go upstairs to find her and they're like digging through the closet and there's like the sheet is now over the what you think is Carol Ann, and then it turns out to be that stupid clown doll.
Dude, that clown's messed up.
Why would you ever buy that?
Well, and I think it's funny too. The kid's horribly scared of this clown, but yet it's always propped up on a chair at the end of his bed. And then he has to throw his jacket over the top of him.
You know
why are you continuously putting this clown at the end of your bed?
You know why? Because it keeps them in bed so they can go get high.
Ooh, touche. All right. Touche.
You figured it out.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to try
I've got a plan with my kids.
Exactly. You got to keep them scared and in bed.
Find some giant scary doll to put on the chair next to their bed.
Just introduce my kids to Annabelle.
Yeah, that's just bad juju.
And then we'll put Annabelle in the house.
Oh, man.
Remind me never to go to your house again.
So then they can hear, they're all running around the house trying to find her.
Yeah, then they can kind of hear
her. And the brother can kind of hear her talking. So he's looking around, wandering around looking for her, and he hears her in the TV. So he's yelling for the parents to come. And then they hear her in the TV. And then I like that there's, like, this time jump, you know? Because, first off, obviously if some nights have gone by. You know what I mean? Some time has definitely passed here. Why wouldn't you get your other kids out of the house? You know what I mean? Like, go send them to grandma's, which they try to do. They do with the boy.
Mm-hmm. Which, what did they do with the 16-year-old girl?
She went to stay at a friend's.
Okay. Yeah. I felt like she just disappeared out of nowhere. And it's like, you just don't care about this 16-year-old girl.
She went off,
like,
with those construction workers.
She did something.
She was staying at that motel. She's so familiar with.
This is far safer than the house with the demon tree.
Man.
I did like that gag at the end of the movie where they go to the hotel and then they close the door and then open it and the dad wheels
the TV out, slams the door again.
Anyway, so some time has gone by, but yeah, bad parenting. They've kept the other children in the house where they can now be possibly abducted.
Yeah.
And obviously stuff is weird going on in the house, you know? And so they're all just living in the living room at this point. Nobody goes upstairs. Nobody goes into the kitchen. Nobody goes anywhere. And they decide to go get some people to, like, try to help them exercise their house and find their daughter. So they go to the local college, I'm assuming, is where they went, and get some people from this paranormal research and development.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they would be there. The same reason the people from Ghostbusters are working at that college, I guess. Every college just has some random
just in case
ghost finding people working there. And anyway, they bring them back, and I like this scene a lot where they're talking about the paranormal stuff they've captured, and they're like, yeah, we watched this car or a ball roll across the floor. It rolled 7 feet in like 8 hours or something. We caught the whole thing on tape. If you just walked by at a glance, you wouldn't notice it, but we have it on like a time-lapse camera, so you could see it in like fast time, and you can see no one's touching it, and it's just rolling across the ground. It's fascinating. And he's just like, oh yeah, uh-huh, and he just opens the door to the room, and there's like stuff flying and circles in the room, and this lamp like goes into the lampshade and turns on and then flies around. Like, it's like, dude, I don't care about your car rolling across the ground. That ain't nothing, bro.
Check this out, man.
Like, they're talking about this thing they found that's like the coolest thing they've ever seen, and it's just nothing compared to what's going on in this kid's room. And so they set up shop there to capture anything and everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the exact order of everything that happens, but they're like trying to get the girl to talk to him or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can kind of hear her through the TV, and they've got the TV mic'd up. And then everybody falls asleep. And the parents now, with the kids in the room with them, are drinking with the people who are there to videotape the stuff that's going on. It's like,
at one point they even get accused of it could be fake. Oh, she could be in a CB radio somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, but
they already saw the room.
I know.
At this point.
Why I know.
Like, that's the thing. You walk in and you see that room, you know right away they're not faking it.
No.
How are they going to fake that?
See, what you got to do, you got to wait for three phenomena. Then you know it's real.
It's like a strike system.
Yeah.
It's not real until three strikes.
You can fake two things. You can't fake three. Like a little tornado in your house.
Yeah, but there were more
than... That's easy, man.
So you have to count the instances, though, because there was more than three things flying in the room.
It's just one room.
It's just one room. Okay.
Doesn't count.
Horrible logic.
It's the 80s. There's no logic.
So they needed three rooms, which they do get.
Yeah. And then they believe them. Then Zelda comes in.
The next thing that happens is they're set up at night, and the only two people left awake are the two dudes who are videotaping everything. And the one guy's like, hey, I'm going to go get some food. And I thought that meant he was leaving.
I thought the same thing, and too. But then he goes and rummages the kitchen.
He's going through their stuff.
It's part of the deal. You can't leave.
Also, this I thought was weird. If you are going to, like, pillage their house for food, you're not going to grab their T-bone steak and, like, grill it up in the middle of the night.
Their T-bone steak, their leftover chicken wings or whatever.
Well, the chicken wing makes sense. It's leftovers. Okay. So it's ready to go. I think that makes sense. But it's the middle of the night. Everyone's sleeping. You're going to turn on the oven, get a skillet out, and cook this steak. It's going to fill the house with the smell of this food. You'd be trying to make, like, the least amount of noise possible.
Let me ask you this. Did it say, don't touch?
It didn't show in the fridge. Exactly. I don't know if there was a little
fair
card
game.
That said, no,
fair
don't
game,
touch.
Man.
But I'm just saying, like...
I will remember that the next time I'm at your house.
Dude, you eat everything at my house when you come over.
Only because Ashley offers it.
Even when she's not there.
The next time we're at your house to watch wrestling, I'm going right upstairs and open the fridge. I don't see any signage. Just start grabbing stuff.
I'm
going to
start labeling all my food.
Don't touch. Karen's going to
be
touch,
like, what
touch.
Is this? Don't worry about it.
Just in case those jerks come over.
There's an episode of The Office where like Jim and Daryl become roommates where they're starting that athlete company. And Daryl labels everything in the house, and there's like a bag of flour, and he puts Daryl's on it. And he's like, dude, are you saying that if I needed some flour, I couldn't have some of this flour? And he's like, what are you doing, some bacon? Like, what, you need some flour? Because I don't think you're going to need any flour. Anyway, so he puts the meat on the table, on the countertop, and then turns around to put the pan on the the skillet on the stove and heat it up or whatever, and then he turns back and he's watching it like crawl like a worm, like inching its way across the countertop, and then all of a sudden it just starts like imploding from within itself, like just gross rotten meat stuff, and so he like spits the chicken leg out of his mouth onto the floor because he's disgusted by it, and then he looks down and there's just maggots crawling all over it. So then he's freaked out and he runs into the bathroom to hurl.
Yeah.
And looks into the mirror and his face has like
creepy crawlies all over it.
Well, it's like a scar. Yeah, it's like a boil open, on the cheek.
Yeah, there's like an open wound on his cheek. Yeah, so he starts touching it. Because there's
just
like
starts peeling it off.
Yeah, there's like maggots in it and he's like peeling his whole face off and you can see like his jaw and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden it like just snaps back and he looks totally normal.
Dude, that part scared the crap out of me as a kid. That's why I don't ever want to watch this again.
She remembered too.
Oh man. And like it shows in the sink just like chunks of like meat and skin falling in. It's like, ugh, no thanks.
And then immediately after it cuts like to the next morning and they're like, so-and-so's gonna stay here, but so-and-so's not coming back. And it's the guy who had that interaction in the mirror. He's not coming back. I'm like, yeah, well, I wouldn't go back either.
Yeah. And then right after that he goes back into the living room. And the other guy is, like, drawing a picture on the paper, so he's, like, distracted. He's not watching the cameras. Yeah. He has his headphones on. He's listening to music. And the camera's following something through the living room, and you don't see it. And the guy comes back in after tearing his face off, and then he's fine. And he sees the camera moving stuff around in this light. And so he gets the guy's attention, and then everybody wakes up and sees this, like, ghostly character float down the stairs and then... Does it just evaporate, or does it go into, like, the hole in the ceiling?
Doesn't it go in the ceiling?
I think it goes in the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which I think they learn right there is a portal.
Yeah, another, like, invisible portal.
Yeah, and then
there.
A bunch of weird stuff drop out of the ceiling as well, like jewelry. Like a
bunch
of
old jewelry and stuff, And anyway, so then we get to the next day, and they've decided the one guy's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had to peel his face off the mirror, and it was too creepy.
And Zelda shows up.
Yeah, so they bring in Zelda to come and help them.
Yeah, what was her name? Character's name? I don't remember.
Tangina, I think. Yeah, Tangina. And she comes in and is really unnerving. Like, she's kind of calm and soothing, but at the same time, she's like...
She's, like, anxious a little bit. Like, she knows there's something way bigger going on.
Yeah, and it's funny because so far, the dad, like, hasn't been able to explain everything, but all of a sudden, he's going to question this lady. You know what I mean? You'd think that, I mean, which I can't decide if that's like what, as I try to relate to these characters, because you know, you try to like, you know, experience the movie. Like, I can't decide if I'm agreeing with him or if I'm trying to do any, I'm trying everything and anything to get, you know, my daughter
back. Because
he wants
like a logical explanation for it, and she doesn't have a logical explanation.
Yeah. So. And so he's like answering her question in his head to prove that she's a phony, and then she can. She overhears him from all the way upstairs or whatever, you know, wandering around the house. Anyway, so she sees everything that's going on and tells him what's what and what to say to the daughter. And part of the reason I think you don't trust her also is because the first lady is like trying to keep the daughter safe.
Yeah.
And Zelda seems way more willing to lie to the daughter who's trapped inside the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And manipulate her to save her, but you know, lie to her to manipulate the spirits and demons that are...
It could potentially get her hurt.
Right, yeah. So she seems to be more careless, even though she's obviously... Well, not obviously to them, but she seems to be the more experienced person. Like, the people you talk to come check this out, they brought her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're like, we need to get somebody else.
Yeah.
You trust them, but you don't trust this person. And she's only there because of the people you trust.
She wasn't at the university. She's not accredited.
Who knows what her qualifications are. She could be
some bum off the street.
For all I know, last time I checked, she was just the organist in 16 Candles. Yes. Anyway, so she contrives this plan. They write on some tennis balls the number one, the number two. And what words did they write on them?
Just I don't remember.
Number one and number two.
Oh, just one and two? Yeah. Okay. I saw the numbers, but I couldn't see what he actually wrote.
Ball one, ball two, I think is what it says.
Okay. But. Well, anyway, she throws these balls into the demon closet or whatever. And they come out in the living room, and they're all covered in this pink jello.
Yeah.
And so then they throw this rope through. And they tie one end to the mom and send her in, which I couldn't help but think of that episode, that Treehouse of Horror episode of The Simpsons, where Bart goes into the 3D universe. Uh-huh. And there's like Homer goes in. I can't remember who goes in first, but Homer's like hiding behind like the dresser to hide from Marge's sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And the wall is like a portal to a third dimension, a 3D.
Yeah, it's Homer goes in first.
Yeah, and he like throws a cone and it like sticks into the ground and then causes like a hole and it's sucking everything in. And Bart goes in tied to it and like grab him and pull him back out, but they don't save him and he ends up in our world or whatever. Uh-huh. But that's what it reminded me of. And so the mom goes in, you know, and the dad initially offers to, which you would in that situation, but the mom makes a good point. They need him to be able to pull her back out just in case. Which
I think in the remake, I haven't seen it in a while, in the remake actually the dad goes in.
Oh, does he?
But
whatever.
We're not talking about that one.
Well, I just thought it was interesting.
I haven't seen it, so
I don't know.
Who's in the remake?
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's the dad.
That makes me want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually pretty good. Like, the remake is... It's decently good.
From the trailer, I watched the trailer last night. It looked pretty good.
The clown's 10 times scarier.
Yeah, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, creepy.
But
I don't know if I'd say it's 10 times, but like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Twice as scary is pretty scary. To double up on scariness?
You pull its nose out, and it's like on a string, and then it comes like back up to the clown. So there's one part where it's in between Sam Rockwell's feet, and he like looks down and goes, and he turns around. It's this clown following him around.
Huh.
It's weird.
But it's I would definitely, now that I've seen the original, I would say the original is better. Mm-hmm. But the remake really good job at doing what a remake does.
It looks like it followed the sequence of events pretty well.
Pretty decently.
Hmm.
But
anyway.
All right. So yeah, the mom goes into the closet and the dad is pulling tight on the rope. And I don't remember. He can hear like the yelling and screaming and stuff that's going on and decides that it's getting too crazy. He's pulling her out.
Zelda, or whatever character is, she starts yelling, all who's here, all who's prepared, start heading towards light. And he goes, you lied. You said don't go, you know.
Yeah.
And he gets mad and then he starts pulling them out. And she's like, no, it's too early. Don't do it.
Yeah. Because I think her idea is to send in all the lost wayward spirits to like clog up the light so then they can pull them out, maybe distract the demon or whatever that's holding the daughter. But she didn't clarify that ahead of time. And so,
she doesn't tell this family anything.
It definitely seems all of a sudden. She probably could have,
because the demons would know if you speak it. That's
true.
But it definitely makes it seem like, oh crap, she's lied. On their side. Yeah, I mean, she maybe isn't on our side. So he panics and starts trying to like pull her out. And that's probably my favorite part of the whole movie is when that giant demonic face
comes out. Creepy.
And that thing looked great. Yes. Like, it looked so good.
Starts screaming, and then the dad starts screaming. And then he lets go of the rope. Which he promised his wife he would never let go of that rope.
Yeah, but he probably wasn't expecting a demon. He wasn't expecting a demon. Face.
Well.
Anyway.
He's just as bad as Rose on Titanic.
Yeah.
Letting go of Jack.
A butthole.
There was room enough on that ranch.
There was. It's been scientifically proven.
That's the argument I always hear.
Anyways.
Seen that movie once, and it was maybe one too many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the other guy and the girl, the people they hired to come over first, they've got the other end of the rope because it's through the living room. So they start pulling, and they're able to pull the wife through and the daughter, which, again, that effect looks pretty good. Like, there's a camera angle where it's like up at the top where the top of the rope is, and they've got it like so you can see the rope ends.
It just disappears.
And he's just holding the bottom of it. Yeah, it disappears. And I'm sure it's just like a green screen, you know, effect where they layered it or something. You know what
they
I mean?
They could have just put a wire through the middle of the rope and maybe. Held it up.
Yeah, they could have done that too. But either way, it looked great. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this movie that looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so he pulls them out and they just fall and smash into the ground. And they're not breathing or anything. The dad grabs them and goes and puts them in the water because they prepped the tub or whatever. And, you know, child actors are who they are.
Yeah.
I have a beef with not ones from this movie, but something else that we'll talk about.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say with this one. I was like,
nah, getting ahead of myself. And anyway, they just, when they're in the tub and he's like trying to get him to breathe, you can tell that Heather O'Rourke is like,
well, every time he touches her face and she blinks squinches
and twitches. And yeah. And I mean, it's a kid, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you kind of have to let it go. And I give her credit because even though you can see that she's obviously not, you know, unconscious like she's supposed to be, like, you see that she is a kid actor and she is doing a pretty good job. Like, she's not like totally breaking it, you know, like she's water's like hitting her face and she's twitching because of it. And like her eyes kind of open a little bit to make sure that she's still doing her job.
Have you ever seen someone fall that's like asleep and a fly gets on their face? They kind of twitch. That's
well,
all it is.
So
natural bodily reaction.
I relate it more to this. Have you guys seen the original It?
Yeah.
With Tim Curry. So you remember the scene in the library where the balloons are like popping in front of people's faces and there's like the paint that goes on their face and every single one, because it's practical, it's a real balloon with real paint, the people aren't supposed to be moving or noticing, but every single one of them is like every time. Yeah, because how can you not? You know what I mean? It's a loud pop and you're getting hit in the face with some paint, you know? But you just kind of have to suspend your disbelief. Like nowadays, they would do that with CGI or just completely omit it from, which is what they did in the movie that we just got. But I don't know. I give her credit even though she's trying. You can see.
Yeah.
I don't think it ruined my suspension of disbelief or anything.
I mean, she's like, what, six or something?
Yeah. And she does great in every other scene in the movie that she's in, including this one when she does wake up and, you know, she's like, I don't even remember what she says, but she's like, hi, daddy, or whatever, you know. And then they're all happy. My next bad parenting thing, we jump forward in time again. Who knows how far in time, because now they've decided to move. Why are they still in that house?
By the way, real quick, threw me through a loop. I thought the movie was done.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at the timing left of the movie, and there was maybe about 10 or probably 15, 20 minutes left, and I'm like, I don't know how much more they could do, but then I remembered, I was like, this thing is iconic for the swimming pool part with the actual real dead bodies and all that stuff. And then I heard in the remake there was a portion with the clown and everybody's like, man, the original clown was creepy. I'm like, hey, none of this happened. And so all of a sudden,
you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, I was like, well, none of this has happened. And the movie's ending because all of a sudden the daughter's fine. She's back. Oh boy, was I thrown through a loop after that.
Yeah, the movie just really takes off at this
point. It took off really hard at that point.
My thing is, even though Tangina,
especially that demonic lion creature in front of the door, gosh.
Even though Tangina is like, this house is clean. You know what I mean?
No, it ain't clean.
She missed a corner.
Well, we don't know that yet. You know what I mean? As the audience, we don't know that yet. But even so, like, the next scene is them moving out, but more time has passed. The kid's back from grandma's now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Both kids have been sleeping in that room, which, if I was the parent, they would never enter that room again.
I would burn that house to the ground.
Like, I would be out. Like, that night, after I got them all cleaned up out of the bathtub, we're gone.
Yeah.
We're at that hotel.
Which I thought was weird because the dad, they're packing, and then he has to go do something.
He's got to go to work.
And he's like, we're he's not staying.
His job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're not staying here tonight. And she's like, okay. But then they go in there and I don't know. It's she puts the kids to bed. You can go to bed, and then I'm going to go dye my hair and get in the bathtub.
And then go to bed.
And but also, if the phone rings, you guys need to answer it, but go to bed. Mm-hmm. I was like, this thing is all messed up. Like, no, I would have taken the family to the hotel, and then I would have said, I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm going to go quit. I'm going to tell my boss to go to hell, and if he questions me, I'm going to tell him where to go or how to get there.
Right.
Just come over to my house, turn on the TV.
And just watch a movie. I'll be there eventually.
Make yourself comfortable.
Cool. Make yourself feel at hell. I mean home. Yeah, just the parenting choices in this just seem all over the place. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so he goes, the mom puts the kids to bed, and then is, yes, watch the phone, and hey, I got to fix the gray streaks in my hair, because I literally went to hell and back. And
he'll give you a few streaks.
Yeah, have now decided to stay in the house where I went to hell and back another night after who knows how much time has passed from the day before.
Yeah.
And also, at this point, the dad has already gone on a like meeting with his boss, where they offered him the new house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he tells him we did it once before. We moved graves and stuff from down there. You would know right away that's what's going on. Like the second he told you, after everything you just experienced so far in the movie, once you have that information, you now know why everything is happening. Mm-hmm. Like you would just put those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, he doesn't.
Did this one ever mention it was it on a Indian burial ground?
It was just a graveyard.
Okay, because the remake...
He makes a joke. He says that it's just regular graves. It's not like an Indian burial ground or something. Doesn't he?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure the boss makes a joke about it.
But the remake, they specifically say that it was on an Indian burial ground.
Hmm.
Which those poor Indians...
They got
They
hosed.
Did not like us.
Would you?
Well, touche. All the curses they placed on their land, man.
I don't know a ton about, like, you know, the American Indians and stuff like that, but didn't a lot of them, they just, like, elevated the bodies or burned them or something?
It depends on the culture and
everything. So some of them did do burials? Because I thought I remembered that was more like something that was introduced from the Europeans when they came over.
Kind of, but some of it was just, there was a specific sacred spot for their burial rites, and so you weren't supposed to go in there at all.
I know, just don't touch an Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
I learned that
watching Pet Sematary.
Exactly.
Which the original, again, is better than the remake. Yeah. My personal opinion.
Remake was all right.
It's still good.
I don't think it was bad. I just don't care for it.
I don't care to watch it again.
I mean, I'm not going to watch the original again anytime soon, but I would prefer to watch the... If I'm going to watch one of those movies, I'd watch the original because I think it's better. But anyway, he goes to quit his job, and the mom then takes a nap in the tub.
It's relaxing.
While she's like dyeing her hair or whatever, which...
She's a risky girl.
Who's sleeping in tubs?
The same people who go to my hell wife does. And come back. Yeah, my wife does.
I just don't see that.
Live on the edge, pickle. Yeah.
Like, you go to, my thing is, have you ever seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
No.
So there's a scene where Johnny Depp has to put DiCaprio's character, he has to give him a bath, mm-hmm. but he wants to go spend time with this girl. So he gets the bath drawn and he puts him in the tub. And he's like, hey, after you rinse your hair, just hop out. But he doesn't. He stays in the tub. And then he's in there for hours and the water gets cold. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then the kid has hypothermia because he never got out of the tub. See?
That's why I won't take a tub or sleep in a tub. Exactly. Because the water gets too cold too fast.
That's why I wouldn't do it. Yes. You know what I mean? It makes sense to me. The water would get cold and you could wake up with pneumonia or something.
Now, hot tub, I could sit back and relax and maybe fall asleep for a minute. But
that's a bad idea.
Boil yourself. You could cook yourself.
It's one of our friends. Dad, he died in a hot tub in his house. He fell asleep.
I'm not
and
saying
just
I would
out.
Like fall asleep, but I would relax, sit back.
That's what he thought.
All right.
You need a timer next to all hot tubs.
That's there you go.
At least an egg timer to go bing when you're done.
I always think of Scrubs where JD's brother comes into town. He's drunk and he's depressed, sitting in the tub, and so they duct tape his head to the wall so he doesn't drown.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, so the dad, while he's gone, which, how long does it take to quit your job?
Right.
One, when he leaves, it's daylight. Like, the moving truck is still there, like, loading everything into that truck.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, and then it's nighttime. You know what I mean? When he gets back?
Traffic.
Right, but, you know? Like, it seems like the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You know, like, 1, 2 o'clock, something like that. When he leaves, yeah. And then when he gets back, it's obviously way later than that.
Yeah.
Like 9, 10 o'clock, something like that. Anyway, so this time the boy wakes up in his room, and he sits up and sees this clown. So he throws his jacket.
Well, before he goes to bed, he tries to throw the jacket on the clown. Misses.
Yeah.
And then he falls asleep and wakes up, and the clown's no longer there.
Oh, right. So then he looks on the ground, and he doesn't see it on the ground. And then he checks on one side of the bed, and it's not there. So then he checks the other side of the bed, and he reaches down. And I love that, how he, like, yanks the covers up. And it shows you there's nothing under the bed. Mm-hmm. And then he just sits up, and it's next to him. And, I like, the hand just, like, coils around his neck like a snake.
Starts choking
like,
him.
It doesn't grab him. It's like, like, I've seen that. So I've seen this movie before, obviously, yeah. A few times as a kid. And it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I do remember that scene. And every time it seems like I watch like a top 10 of horror movies or something,
yeah.
It seems like they use that clip a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it a lot, you mm-hmm. know? And so I see it, and Lizzie is like terrified because she doesn't like toys and dolls and ventriloquist dummies that come to yeah. life and stuff like that. But to me, it's just comical because of how like fake it obviously
yeah.
is. You know what I mean? Like yeah. I even laughed at the... As you guys know, I'm the resident, and all you listeners might know, I'm the resident expert on fake faces here. I'm counting up who's got the most. Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the league with 4 fake heads. So I think I'm the expert. This one, in this movie, when he tears his face off, it looks yeah. worse than the first Terminator face in the first Terminator movie.
Yeah. Yes.
The one where he has to, like, cut his own eye out.
Yeah.
And that looked bad. So, anyway, this is a bad one. And, I don't know, just the effect with the clown is just comical, you know, it like yeah. wraps him up. It is scary, like he pulls him down onto the floor and then like just dragging him under the bed, yeah. you know? I remember seeing that as a kid and being terrified of it. But anyway, the sister is in the same room as him and so doesn't seem to notice really any of this going on and until like the kid is obviously like yelling and the mom gets up. And it gets attacked by this poltergeist or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that effect was really cool also. And I'm not sure, did they actually build like a rotating room for that?
I don't know.
Because I know that like they've done that for some other movies.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys should try to look that up and see how they did that? Because that effect was really cool. Like the ghost attacks her while she's laying in bed and it like drags her up that wall and she's like rolling across it. Yeah,
demon tries to molest her.
Yeah. Yeah. But...
He just washed her in the tub for an hour.
That's true.
Anyway.
Demons get handsy.
That effect is really cool. She essentially goes up one wall, across the ceiling, and down the other wall.
I'm assuming they did a set for that.
And just rotated yeah, the just whole rotated. Room. Mm-hmm. See, that's what makes sense to me. Because, like, her hair is always... You can tell which way gravity is, yeah. you know? And they've done that for other movies. The one that... is jumping to mind right now is Inception, that yeah. rotating uh-huh. hallway. Yeah.
Did you know that they actually built a 10-story high set like that for part of the falling section where they had to do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Yeah. I knew they had the rotating one, but I didn't know they had a tower for it. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The room is rotating, and the mom is going around all yeah. of the stuff, you know, up one wall, across the ceiling, down the other wall. Then she gets out and is, like, running down the hallway, and she goes to run... down. Is this when the hallway gets long?
Yes,
or is that yeah. the second time?
Well, that's the second time.
Because she goes, yeah, she opens yes. the door and she's like trying to get to them. Or no, she goes to the door and that's when that lion demon is there.
Well, yeah, the thing keeps zapping at her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then she's getting shocked by everything that she touches and she falls down the stairs and then goes to touch the railing again and gets zapped. I still wouldn't run outside. Like if it was me,
yeah.
I would still be just trying to get to your kids because you know... that whatever is going on, that closet is in their room. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And they're screaming already, so you know it can't be good. But she goes outside screaming for the neighbors.
Yeah.
Right, which I get that you would want help.
Well, after seeing that lion thing, yeah.
She's probably assuming those kids are as good as dead.
I'd get out of there as quick as I could.
Sacrifice the children.
Yeah. I just don't get, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't leave the house. You know what I mean? Like, it would take you less time to call 911 on the phone in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe the phone won't work because the house is infected by demons. She didn't even try.
She's getting zapped by everything. She's going to short out the phone.
Well, the door opened. anyway, she goes to the fence and she's yelling around and stuff. And then she's the one who falls in the pool.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm.
And
which is a very controversial part for this movie, because she falls into the pool and all these dead bodies start appearing, and she did not know that they were real dead bodies.
Yeah, so that's the one thing it seems like is the most notable thing about this film, aside from the deaths related to it, is that they used real cadavers in the making of this film for the scene in the pool. And it's like just dirty, muddy water.
The scene in the pool.
Corpses float up and are like shooting up out of like caskets.
I was going to say, and I think the caskets that shoot up and the bodies that come out, I think those are real too.
See, I don't know the full extent of which ones are real. Because I would imagine that some of them are not.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Some of them are probably fake, and some of them do look fake. But some of them look really, really good.
I know all the ones in the pool are real.
I was going to say, let me just ask you. One dead body in a pool, are you getting in that pool?
No.
It does not matter how many of them are fake or real. One is too many.
I've definitely heard people say that like all the bodies are real. And there's just, I don't see that being true. Yeah. I think it would be too hard to procure that many dead bodies.
Have you ever been to a graveyard? Bodies everywhere, bro.
No, but I don't think I don't think they went digging up graves. I think they just got some from like a local morgue or something to use as props for the movie.
I think they were donated.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, from the local university.
Yeah, there's some people.
Still, that's a lot of bodies.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people donate their bodies to science and art.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's tons and tons of people do that. But what I'm saying is, like, for just one movie, you know what I mean? That's not even, like, this is a Spielberg movie before he's Steven Spielberg, or before Amblin Entertainment, before any of that. Yeah. Like, it's not a major Hollywood production. You know what I mean?
I think go to rent a body?
I would imagine 40 not bucks an hour. Every body in this movie is a real body, though there are some.
Yeah.
Some of them look extremely real, and I would assume those are the ones that are real.
Yeah.
But some of them look like a prop. You know what I mean? And I would imagine those are fake.
I'm sure there are some where they had to like manipulate the body more than others. That they're going to be props.
But regardless, if they're using one real dead body, that's one too many, right? Uh-huh. So, the actress was extremely upset because she's in water with muddy sludge and a real, who knows how many, dead bodies floating in the water with her. And it's like all over her and her hair and her mouth and like, ugh. Disgusting, man. That's so gross. Anyway, she finally gets helped out of the pool by the neighbors who come to the rescue. And they only come like halfway to the rescue. She's like, my kids, my kids. And then
the
she's
husband
like,
tries to help, and the wife's like, don't you go in there. You're not going to help them. Yeah. I don't want you to die. And it's like, geez, lady.
I'm not going to lie. If my neighbor's house is being possessed and there's floating dead bodies in her house, that's what the police is for.
Sorry, lady.
I got you out.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, how much of that do they believe is real? You know what I mean? Like, they just show up. They pull her out of the water.
Ah, sorry, I hit a button. That was my bad.
They
almost dropped my phone
water.
And I hit a button.
Did they even like mention anything about the dead bodies?
Yeah, I didn't know if that's something they see, the dead bodies, or if
because
it's
everything else.
That yes,
seems
they
to be
saw
happening.
The dead bodies. They pull her out of the water and they see the dead bodies floating there.
But well, what if still, it's just her floundering in the pool and then go out to help her?
No, they see the dead bodies because at that point, all these dead bodies start coming around and people start realizing that their houses were built on top of a cemetery. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just
that's
images
true.
She's
and
seen.
Everybody watches the house get sucked into that hole too. But like, at this point, this is the first time anyone besides a family member and the exorcist people come to the house and see anything. Because before this, the earthquakes that they experience, the lights that they're seeing, anything weird, it's just happening just to house. Them. It's not happening to anyone else. Yeah, because
the dad goes and asks the neighbor about the TV and stuff at the fence at one point, and he's like, no, just a little bit of static from the power lines or whatever, you know?
Yeah. He's like, look, if somebody's changing the channel, my TV's not even on. That's what he says. But, you know, it definitely makes it seem like stuff's happening to them, and it's not happening everywhere.
Yes.
You know? Which is weird, because if they moved a graveyard, those people would be buried maybe not underneath that neighbor's house, but definitely the other neighbor's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be more than just their yard with how close those houses are together and how massive, in general, cemeteries are, you know? I don't know. It just seems odd to me. But, yeah, if they were that close to the bodies, they definitely should see that casket that's, like, poking out of their pool.
Yeah. Because
that's sticking up pretty high. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. And then, yeah, the other lady won't let him go help her.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, your neighbors, your kids probably play together. I would imagine that you would probably be helping a little bit, especially since you don't know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at this point, you don't know the extent of what's happening in this house. You're probably more on the willing to help side than the non-willing to help side.
Yeah.
Until you recognize everything that's going on and how totally, really scary it is. Then you're probably like, I'm out of here. Call the cops. But anyway, she goes back in the house now and goes back up the stairs. And is this when she then sees the lion?
Yeah. Well, no. That's she already saw hallway. The lion. No, this is the extended hallway.
So she sees the lion and then gets shocked.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, so she's running down this extended hallway and trying to get to the door. She finally gets there as the dad pulls up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sees, like, lights and stuff flashing everywhere. And he can hear screaming. And he still, like, stops and is like, oh, no, not again. You know what I mean? If you pulled up and you saw those lights flashing after what you went through, you would just know again, you know?
He's just debating, should I just go around the block one more time? Wait for this to pass?
Like when you get home and you see the in-laws' cars are still in like the driveway, and you're like, I'll just go around the block one more time and see if they leave.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's too funny. So he gets out, stops, waits a second, makes sure that he realizes what's going on, then he runs in to help him. And the mom has opened the door and has now gotten the son's hand, and he's grabbing the daughter, and she pulls them both out as the closet's trying to, like, suck them back in. I don't know. All of that looked really good. Like, the closet door, before it opens, how it's, like, seeping out and, like, covering the whole wall and everything like that. And then when they open the door and it's just, like, a giant mouth around, looks way cool.
Yeah.
Everything about that looked awesome. And that demon lion thing does look good, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of comes out of nowhere, but so does the giant face that, like, comes out the dad, you know? I liked both things. I thought they were great. So they get the kids out, then they're leaving, and the boss has showed up to try to convince this guy not to quit again.
Well, he drove him home.
Did he? I don't think he did. He pulls, shows up in another car, doesn't he?
Because
the dad gets out of the driver's side of his car.
I was pretty sure.
And the boss shows up afterwards. Because the boss pulls up when he's in the house.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
I literally just watched it, and I don't know. Anyways.
But anyway, on the way out, he like grabs the boss, and he's like, you just moved the headstones. You left the bodies in the ground, didn't you? You knew it, didn't you? Or whatever. The guy just doesn't seem to recognize like what he's done or whatever. So they get in the car and they're going to leave.
Which I think this is hilarious. They're getting in the car trying to leave and they're not worried about their other daughter, the 16-year-old who shows up with a guy and a big old hickey on her neck.
Well, she pulls up in a car with not just a guy. There's two more friends in the car, too.
Oh, so she...
She, like, hops out of the convertible.
Can't say the word.
They're not worried about her at that point because they think she's at the friend's house.
Well, she ain't at the friend's house.
You know, she's not home.
She's lying to those parents again.
She anyway, was probably at that Holiday Inn with a couple guys.
That's why she knows.
Anyway, So I think that's why they're not initially worried about her, where is the other daughter, because she wasn't even home.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She was already out with friends or whatnot. So then they're like backing out, and the other daughter runs up to the car and is like, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. And they don't do a good enough job of showing that daughter get into the car, because they like hit another car and then they just peel out and like bail. And it definitely looks like they'd left the teenage daughter there.
Yeah.
Because Lizzie thought the same thing. And Jay was like, yeah, she didn't get in. She didn't get in the car. And I was like, she's probably in the car. They probably just didn't show it well enough. And then the next thing you see is like the kids all sitting in the back seat. But anyway, they drive away. The house gets sucked into the portal, I guess.
Yeah.
And the guy who was like in charge of building all these houses, the guy who moved the cemetery, is just standing on the sidewalk watching it all go down. And like nothing happens to him. Like that guy doesn't get his comeuppance at all.
Nope.
He just lost a couple hundred grand.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, after this, probably everyone vacates that area, and so he just gets saddled with like all this debt from all these houses that he tried to. Well, that's the thing though. If it's not like townhomes, you know what I mean? Then he's not like once the house is sold, it's the bank's problem. So if people are bailing, it doesn't come back on him.
Yeah, which could be,
you know,
true.
So I don't see how this guy, unless he like bought all the land and now no one wants
sued.
To move there.
That's the only thing. He's probably going to get sued.
Yeah. He could probably
the bank's not going to take a loss on that. They're going to go after him.
Yeah. But anyway, they take off. They get to the hotel. They all like super, they all look super tired and worn out. And they walk in, go inside the room. The door closes, then opens, and he shoves the TV out of the room. Close the door, and the credits roll.
So there is the part where the boy's getting strangled by the clown. Apparently when he was screaming, I can't breathe, he literally couldn't breathe. And Steven Spielberg thought he was just ad-libbing that. And then he saw his face starting to turn purple. So they cut the scene and then he went, ran up there and stopped it. And, you know, so he's actually getting drug underneath the tape or the bed.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wild.
That's weird that he would be. I mean, you'd think that there would be like a person.
There should have been a
helping pull that along.
Yeah.
You know, with like what I know about animatronics, there's almost always a puppeteer like right nearby.
Yeah, but if something just wasn't working quite right, or they had
maybe
the
it was
harness
like
or something,
or something like that. Something. Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
And then also,
I mean, I believe the story you're reading. You know, it's just weird that would happen.
And then the little girl when she's on the bed and all that stuff's getting blown around in the room. They actually did use a gigantic fan and it terrorized her. They did that take once, and then Steven Spielberg ran up there and gave her a giant hug and said, "We're not doing that again." So,
except for later on in the movie when it happens to her again.
No, they only did it one time. That scene with her, I guess they might have gotten a little double or something, but. He told her we're never doing that again. So
they probably filmed it at the same time, honestly.
I'd imagine. And only use half the footage or something.
Yeah.
And then Drew Barrymore was considered for the role of Carrie Ann, the little girl. But Steven Spielberg wanted someone a little more angelic. And so Drew Barrymore is a little demon. And so that's how she got
was
her
in E.T.
That's how she got her role. She auditioned for this one. And he's like, no, I want someone more innocent looking.
Huh. Which is Barrymore's a pretty innocent looking little kid, though.
It's just weird. Whatever. maybe he needed someone blonde hair instead of brown hair. Whatever. And then the mom in the shooting pool scene didn't want to get in the
swimming pool scene.
Yeah, because it wasn't because of the dead body. It was because of all the electrical wires and cables running overhead. She thought she was going to get electrocuted. So Steven Spielberg got in the pool and to get her to get in the pool and stayed in there. And then as they were right before they were going to start the scene, he goes, now if a light falls in here, we're both fried. And then she's just like, what? But he stayed in the pool for the whole scene, I guess.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Look up. See how much money this movie made. I forgot to
Lots.
Remember that. Budget $10,700,000. Opening weekend it made $6 million. Worldwide gross, well, just in the U.S. Well, it was only in the U.S. There wasn't a worldwide release. This only had a U.S. release originally. $77 million.
Oh, that's a good turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Word of mouth spreads fast, yo.
Yeah. You ever seen this show? It'll terrorize you for years to come. Go see it.
Yeah, I can't recommend this movie enough. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's an awesome, like, intro to horror also. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we watched it with our oldest boy just last night, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I think this movie's really good.
It is really good. It traumatized me when I was little, and I still remember almost all of it.
Yeah, I don't know if I would recommend it to, like, little kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you got, like, an 8-year-old or something, probably not for them, but any teenage kid.
Yeah.
I think could watch this, you know. Yeah. Like, they just turned 12 or 13, I think they could handle it. You know, if they're playing Call of Duty or something like that, they can they can handle this, that's for sure.
Say, I don't have a whole lot of other trivia for this other than the tree is one of Steven Spielberg's childhood fears, and then I think the clown as well. And so he put those in there as something that he was terrified as a little kid. And then the special effects in this and the scoring were nominated for Oscars, but lost out to his other film, E.T. So,
yeah, the film was originally given an R rating, but the filmmakers protested successfully and got a PG rating.
Man.
It only has one Wilhelm screen in it.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't even hear it. Just oh, wait, it's on the movie they're watching. I did notice it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's watching that. The
1950s the Western.
Mom, yeah, the That's mom, she's like, don't sit so close to the TV, you're going to ruin your eyes or mm-hmm. whatever. And she changes the channel and it puts that on.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. I do remember. Let's see. Highest grossing horror film of 1982 and the 8th highest grossing film of the year. So this movie was super successful. Special effects and score were both nominated for Oscars, but lost to E.T. because that won, like, everything, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie's great. I can't recommend it enough. Everybody should check it out. Go watch it with your families.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Got anything else to add, Zach?
I'm good.
I'm glad that you liked it. I keep forgetting that you, like, hadn't seen it before.
Yeah, but I haven't seen this one, so...
When I picked it, Zach was like, ooh, goody.
It's nice to watch a movie you haven't seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. Get something off of your wanting to watch list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's half the reason I want to do this podcast.
Get you to watch more.
Yep.
Cool. Well, you guys can find us. Where can they find us, Thomas?
Right here in this basement. But you can find us on the internet at Instagram. At Excellent Movie Adventures, and then send us a message at Gmail, excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com, on Twitter, Excellent Movie Pod, and then you can find Pickle and Zach on Instagram and Twitter on their personal accounts.
At Pix Adventures.
Z Van Beekum.
Yep, that's us.
There you go.
Cool, cool, cool. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ciao.
Excellent!